The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
But moving it along, I am delighted to say, I think Alan Quinlan joins us on the line. Morning, Quinny.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You need something to rescue your weekend after last night. So let's get into it. Munster-Leinster, we've been talking a little bit about the rivalry this weekend and exactly what sort of a rivalry it is. And over the last 6 years, looking at the records, Munster have the worst head-to-head against Leinster than any of the other provinces. But needless to say, it's still the biggest rivalry. Competitively, though, Quinny, it's still got a bit of a way to go, hasn't it?
A little bit, I think. There's been glimpses in the last couple of years of what it means to the players. I think it's diluted a little bit for sure, I think. And that's been a regular question when this fixture happens in recent years. You go back to the game in December 2018 that Munster won the last time they beat Leinster. It's 5 games ago, 26-17 at Thomond Park. I think there was a real bite to that game and aggression and physicality from both sides. Leinster's discipline was really poor in the night, and I think it probably cost them. James Lowe got sent off, but Keane Healy was yellow carded, Tyke Furlong yellow carded. So Munster won that night. Have they a stronger team on paper now? Probably. I think they have, definitely, with particularly in the centres, with Farrell and Diolinde. They're on the back of a good run. Albeit they lost the game in Ulster, but the Pro 14 has been really good. They brought through a lot of young players. That win in Clermont, so it doesn't change anything here. You know, Leinster will have a huge determination going to Thomond Park to continue that winning run against Munster, and they're hard games to call. They can go either way. When I was a player playing in them, there's a different type of feel to the whole week when you play the Leinster-Munster game as opposed to, you know, playing Connacht or Ulster. So this one is right up there, and looks like both sides will be, you know, we've seen a lot of chopping and changing in selections over the last number of years. They'll be at full strength, and there'll be hopefully a bit of, hopefully it'll be a good game and that there'll be a bit of bite to it. I think there's added incentive for players, given that the Irish team will be picked for Wales, and that game is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Ronald Garris' column in the Examiner this morning, Quinny, he says Munster voices are a little bolder than they've ever been before in relation to the Leinster games. Van Grand's record against Leinster is pretty terrible. He's at 1-8. You can't really suggest, obviously, that it's all his own doing. Players maybe haven't been there for the large part of that. But when you look at some of the Leinster players that are missing or who are 50-50 or maybe just coming back from injury, there's probably something in what Roger's saying there that maybe it's as good a time as any for Munster to do one over in Leinster.
Yeah, I think the Leinster team that would have been picked for the Stephens Day game, if that went ahead, would have been most of their Irish guys would have been rested. Munster were going to go full strength for that one to try and continue that momentum after Clermont. But I think, you know, they're missing Furlong, Gary Ringrose, James Lowe. They won't be involved. It looks like that. Did it look the same team as they were a few years ago? Probably not. I mean that respectfully. I think there's a number of players that you know, big name players that are out of the side. A couple of teams have exposed some vulnerabilities, taken away that aura that they've had for a number of years. That doesn't make them an easy team to beat. They're a fantastic side who, you know, I suppose if look at the Pro 14 with Connacht beat them a few weeks ago. I think it was a run of 26 games unbeaten, and they're a very strong side mentally as well, and they won't be daunted by going to Thomond Park. But you just have a feeling, and that Munster have a little bit of momentum, and that they really need this one to happen for them, Adrian, because, you know, as you say, the record, it's 1 win in the last 9. If you go back another couple of matches, you can say it's 2 wins in 13. So you can keep going back, and the wins keep adding up for Leinster. So it's a game that Munster need to win if that optimism is to be justified, with some of the young players that have come in, with a little bit of a change in the way they've played. Go back to that semi-final, and, you know, Munster were heavily criticised afterwards. Leinster beat them 13-3 back in September, and You know, Munster kicked the ball 36 times. Leinster kicked it 33 times. There's not a huge difference there. And Leinster do kick a lot as well. A lot of the, you know, look at England and their dominant performances in Six Nations and World Cups. They kick the ball a lot. It's not always about Munster kicking it so much. It's about the type of kicks. And when they're chasing games, have that ability to be ambitious and open up. And, well, they showed in Clermont that, you know, their execution was much better. You saw little glimpses of subtle little touches and the attack, and particularly that Mike Haley try. So I think there's a desperate... Look, Leinster will say there's a desperation for them to win as well, because they're 5 points behind Ulster. They have two games in hand, and, you know, they want to lose another game and make it difficult for them to finish top of that conference, given that at the moment it's the top one on either side to play in a final. That may change, but and nobody wants to lose these games. There's bragging rights. When players go into camp in the next couple of weeks, you know, you go in with a little bit of a swagger when you win them. And Munster haven't had that for a long time. Leinster have had the, you know, the confidence and self-belief that those games generate, and they've had that for a long, long time now.
You mentioned the semi-final at the end of last season, and the mood music after that, Alan, was really negative around Munster. There was a sense that they're nowhere near Leinster after that. So was that well overblown, or has the improvement just been so rapid?
Well, they showed glimpses in the Inter-Pro Pro 14 game in August, the first game back after the lockdown. That Munster actually were, even though they lost the game, and most Munster people will say, well, look, if you're going to be beaten by a very good Leinster side and a very good Leinster squad, at least, you know, go down with a bit of a fight and throwing caution to the wind and throwing the kitchen sink at it in attack and having a bit of spark in your performance. And they didn't have that. They had it in the first game when they were beaten 27-25. Yeah. JJ Hanra has a kick from the corner to level the game. And they actually played really well in that game, attacked really well. And then you go to the semi-final. I know the weather conditions were different, but I think they're at 13-3 down. They're slowing the game down and they're putting in box kicks and stuff like that. And it's different if you're winning that game on, and if you're the one that's leading 9-3 or 12-3 against Leinster, well, you can kick the letter off the ball. And every bad kick is a good kick when you're in front. But if you're chasing a game, and I think that's what they need to be more clinical. You know, if somebody makes a line break, is there someone on their shoulder? Is that anticipation there? And Leinster have shown that for years, that in crucial moments and crucial periods of games, they find a way to score, and it takes away the momentum from the opposition and their confidence and self-belief. So if Munster want to be a side that are actually seriously going to challenge that, you know, for not just for Pro 14, for Europe, that's where you're really judged. They've got to be more clinical and take their opportunities. So the kicking, of course, there's going to be kicking in the game. Conditions are probably going to be bad, but we've got to see some form of attack as well and real energy out of Munster. And then, you know, if you're beaten by a Leinster side, then, well, at least you could take positives out of those performance. It was very, very little positives to take out of that semi-final defeat.
It was almost encouraging from the rivalry's point of view that in that first game that you referenced there, you had someone like Damian D'Alande coming in with no rapport with someone like Johnny Sexton coming in. I know there was a pretty dirty hit on Sexton in that game from D'Alande. I'm not suggesting that needs to happen at the weekend, but that lack of respect for one another, the sort of lack of reverence that somebody like D'Alande can bring to this rivalry can only be a positive, right?
Yeah, and look, if for any overseas player going into either Leinster or Munster, they'll be told about how important this fixture is in the calendar every year. I would imagine there will be a bit of spark to this. I think, as I said, in 2018, when the last time Munster beat them, Leinster's discipline, they went over the edge a little bit. They could have had more issues with Tadhg Furlong and Keane Healy. Tadhg Furlong's challenge was viewed a number of times, and I think if James Lowe wasn't sent off, you may have seen a second red. And there was just an aggression to that game and performance, and I think Leinster's discipline it just let him down the light on that particular night, which is very un-Leinster-like, because part of being a winning team and having a winning culture is having good discipline, being able to translate that physicality in a measured way, if you like. And Leinster have been brilliant at that. The intensity and the tempo to their game in the last number of years is fantastic. So Diolinde, he's a big player for Munster. I think he's a player that, and you know, will Munster give Diolinde the ball? Will they give Chris Farrell the ball? Two big, strong, powerful guys. And they failed to do that back in September. They've got to find a way to get the ball in their hands early. And, you know, Diolinde will run down Johnny Sexton's channel. And I said this, you know, Sexton is such a quality player. He's a big temperament, but it can affect his performance as well if he kind of loses that emotion and gets frustrated. So he's going to have to be tempered and measured. They will challenge him the same way Leinster will challenge JJ Hanra and try and run at him. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think discipline is a key here. I'm not saying that you're going to have punch-ups or flare-ups or because that's going to lose you the game. I think players, but they just have to bring an aggression in their tackles and their clean-outs and stuff like that, both sides. And if we see that, it'll add to the quality of the game and the excitement of this. No crowd is different, obviously, as you know, in Thomond Park. So, and Leinster have been there many times and won, so in recent years. So the home advantage thing, Munster can't rely on home advantage. They've got to play well to have any chance of getting a result here. But there's a little bit of light there and a chink in that Leinster armoury. And let's see if Munster are good enough to take it.
Quinny, we've about 60 seconds here, so keep this brief for me, right? A question in from Kieran asking about central contracts, and I see that Johan van Graan was saying this week that he's hoping to hang on to most of his bigger players. Stander Omani and Earls all out of contract in June, particularly with the latter two, Omani and Earls, despite their good form. Does their age mean they probably won't get central contracts?
Well, their age will mean they'll get reductions. It's very, very simple. They're into their 30s and they won't get the same contracts that they're on, even if they're being selected on the Irish team. And it's up to the players and the agents themselves then to decide what's better for them. I think COVID has thrown everything up in the air. Some of these contracts would have been done with a little bit more ease if it wasn't for COVID and the financial issue. But when you get into your 30s, whether your form is good or not, you're in that category of possibly having to accept a reduced salary. So it's frustrating. It'll be frustrating for Van Graan because he'll want to get those deals done, but it is a concern as well.
And Munster by how many?
Oh, I don't know. This game could go anywhere, Adrian. I think there'll only be a few points in it either way. So 4 or 5 points maybe. And as I said to Owen there, yeah, for Munster, I think if they're going anywhere and if they really want to make a statement and close that gap, they've got to produce a performance here. If they play well enough and play to their ability, I think they might. And that's no slight on Leinster. Leinster are missing a few of their big players, which might turn the tide a little bit in Munster's favour.
Okay. Enjoy it. Thanks, Million.
Cheers, lad. Thanks.
Talk to you again next week. Alan Quinlan there as always on a Friday morning, 8:09 on this Friday. We've had a packed show so far, plenty more still to come. If you've missed anything, you can listen back on the OTB AM podcast. Liverpool Burnley reaction from last night, that rugby chat with Quinny there. We've had David Gillick on The Last of the Wild, reflecting on the life and times of Gerry Kiernan, and great chat with Paddy Andrews earlier on, his Dublin retirement interview. And we're back with Brian Kerr straight after these.
TV Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.